We are discussing fourth chapter. We covered like a couple of verses last time, right? 14 and 15. Can somebody share some points?
Says he is not bounded by the work he does. Right? That's because he doesn't want anything. So he has everything already, so he doesn't want anything. So that's why he's not bound by the work. So that's one.
Because of then, what's the next second clause in the verse?
Who understands that?
One who understands that?
They
also don't get
entangled.
Like, why? How it happens? Prabhupada said, like in three lines, right? About what we discussed.
The king is not subject to the laws.
No, how can a person who understands this truth about Krishna also doesn't get entangled? How do we understand this? We read like three lines in the purport, right? Last page.
Person. But one who knows the supreme truth is a liberated soul fixed in Krishna.
Yeah, Mataji can read. The three lines.
One who understands this transcendental nature of the Lord is an experienced man in Krishna consciousness, and thus he is never subjected to the laws of karma.
Okay. So person, in order to understand this about Krishna, he is already fully experienced Krishna conscious person. So if he fully experienced Krishna conscious person, he doesn't do any karma, right? He does only akarma. That the three lines are, you know, explain everything. We discussed that a couple of times.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, then 15th verse. So I assume you are reading further verses, but you are reviewing the current verses also?
Yeah.
I am not able to read, Mother. I am trying harder, but it's not.
Okay.
So I think he's saying that there are predecessors who have done that, so we should follow that example. Or like he's also saying that the bar is set, or you know, people.
So what you can do in car if you are coming, right? So you can discuss these verses and make note there itself. Like let's say Mataji is going to ask, what am I going to answer?
Yeah.
You make a short notes there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In this verse, what are the main points we can share in the class? In this verse, what are the main points? Mataji, you and Prabhuji also, when we discuss, like all of you, whoever, whenever they're reading, when you review the previous verses, write down next to the verse, either or in the notes, what are the main points we discussed, which we can share, or look through your notes or whatever. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, Krishna is telling about predecessors. They have acted in this understanding. So now you also, Arjuna, follow in their footsteps and act. Because that's a way of devotional service. We have to follow the footsteps of experienced devotees. Then they will not be confused. It's like, you know, going any trail, right? It's usually trail marks will be there. We follow. Otherwise, some unknown place, we just follow somebody, right? Oh, they're going. Let's go like that. It's the same thing. No, we follow experienced devotees, how they have traveled, we travel like that. Okay, so that's we did it very short, right? Last class. Okay, so we can move on to the next section. So 16 to 24 is the next section. Seems like we can cover, let's see. So this section is about, so far Krishna talked about transcendental knowledge. Right, first section, right? How to attain transcendental knowledge. In disciplic succession, it's lost. That's why, you know, I've again speaking to Arjuna. Right, and the next section was about know, how Krishna is a non-doer and how we can be also free from reactions if we understand that about Krishna, right? And this section is about performing action in the platform of knowledge. Let's say acting with knowledge or karma on the platform of jnana. Remember, in third chapter, Arjuna is confused, right? Beginning of third chapter or fourth chapter? Yeah, beginning of third chapter, right? That's where we did summary. Arjuna asked this question, Krishna, you are giving me equivocal instructions. You are asking me to, right? You know this very clearly. You are asking me to fight. At the same time, you are asking me to be a jnani. Right? You are asking me to be a jnani. So, jnani, how will a jnani work? Jnani means like, you know, stop all activities. But at the same time, buddhi yoga. You are acting me to perform buddhi yoga, but at the same time, you are acting me to fight, asking me to fight. Buddhi yoga, he understood to be jnana yoga, which is to be in action. But when he says to fight, that means I have to act. So how can I act when I am supposed to be inactive? So he couldn't understand how can one act in Krishna consciousness, or how do we act on the platform of knowledge, right? But then, you know, that's why Krishna is answering now in fourth chapter. So this section, specifically 16 to 24, we will see how Krishna explains how can one act with knowledge, or, you know, what are his characteristics, what will be his qualities, how does that work, how does he perform, you know, with what attributes he performs. Does he do it for sense gratification, or, you know, does he do with self-control, or does he do for only for Krishna's pleasure? So we will see all this. So 16 to 24 is how to act in the platform of
how can they should mute.
I can mute also, right?
No, if
but
you mute,
you
can,
oh,
can they?
They can.
The speaker has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell Mataji?
Mataji, whoever is online, can you mute yourself unless you are sharing something?
Yes, Mataji.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Okay, text number 16. Okay, let's discuss this. These are very intricate, very, 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 very wonderful verses. 16. Kim karma kim akarmeti kavayo api atra mohita tatte karma pravakshyami yajnyatva mokshasi asubhat. We'll read once, right? Yeah. Even the intelligent are bewildered in determining what is action and what is inaction. Now I shall explain to you what action is, knowing which you shall be liberated from all misfortune. So Krishna is saying very intelligent people usually get confused determining what is action, what is inaction. No, that's what Arjuna is saying, right? He thought jnana, buddhi yoga means inaction. He thought acting for Krishna is also, it's karma.
It's karma.
So that's why he was confused. So that's why he's saying, you know, even intelligent are also in that state. So that's why I'm going to explain to you what is action, knowing which you shall be liberated. So that means you will not be any more confused anymore. And all misfortune you will be free, because you are going to act for auspiciousness. Okay, so let's read the purport. The second paragraph. To act in Krishna consciousness.
To act in Krishna consciousness, one has to follow the leadership of authorized persons who are in a line of disciple succession, as explained in the beginning of this chapter. The system of Krishna consciousness was first narrated to the sun god. The sun god explained it to his son Manu. Manu explained it to his son Ikshvaku. And the system is current on this earth from the very remote time. Therefore, one has to follow in the footsteps of previous authorities in the line of disciplic succession. Otherwise, even the most intelligent men will be bewildered regarding the standard actions of Krishna consciousness. For this reason, the Lord decided to instruct Arjuna in Krishna consciousness directly. Because of the direct instruction of the Lord to Arjuna, anyone who follows in the footsteps of Arjuna is certainly not bewildered.
Mm.
It is.
Yeah, that's fine. So this paragraph, same thing, no? Krishna explained that in disciplic succession.
Mm.
And the Prabhupada says, most intelligent men will be bewildered regarding the standard actions of Krishna consciousness, like how to act. If one on our own, if we try to figure out, is this Krishna conscious? Is this not? Is this for Krishna service? You often ask, right? Only should I take this job? Should I take this house? So often we get confused. So that's why when we ask, follow the footsteps of seniors or, you know, somebody who is more advanced or somebody who already treaded that path, it becomes very easy. And that's why Prabhupada is saying, anyone who follows the footsteps of Arjuna is also certainly not bewildered. Because Krishna says, I am going to remove all your misfortune. Right? Because I am going to give you clear what is action, what is inaction. So similarly, whoever follows in footsteps of Arjuna also will have clear direction. Right? Okay. So do we have, sometimes we can we relate to this? Do we get bewildered in determining what is action, what is inaction? Especially Krishna consciousness, we are just beginning now, right? Sometimes do we, should I go to the shop and buy this? Or, you know, should I go to this restaurant and eat this? Those are clear, right? These are not. But do we, anybody can share some debates you had about, you know, confusion, whether, you know, is this really my service to Krishna or is this really, you know, Krishna consciousness? For example, Naresh Prabhu was sharing the other day. So Mataji, you know, we are supposed to live simple life, everything. So if we work hard for a promotion, is it really, you know, is it Krishna conscious? Right? That's a bona fide question.
What is the answer, Mataji?
So answer depends on our, you know, how we see our work as service to Krishna. If you see our work as service to Krishna, as we explained last time, we can put day and night for that. Of course, it's not namesake saying service to Krishna, and no, we have to have the realization.
How the service to Krishna means, what the job, if, like my husband, he works for a traffic engineer. He designs the traffic signals, and how can we connect that with Krishna? Like, that means we need to relate the salary, what he is getting, we are spending in Krishna consciousness or something.
Yeah, there are multiple levels, we discussed this several times. There are multiple levels you can connect that. One is, first step, for basic level is, I'm just getting some money so I can maintain myself and my family so they can happily practice Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, every day there is struggle for bread and butter. Every day, let's say you have to work, he has to work. Kids has to go outside and earn some money, let's say. Then how will we practice? So just for that sanity itself, I'm getting, Krishna has provided me this service so everybody else can practice peacefully. So here I'm not even giving anything to Krishna, right? Money. At a higher stage, okay, well, Krishna is providing me this service and I'm now more advanced now. I don't need so much, you know, my family doesn't need so much. I have like some amount for future. Rest of it, I want to really give it to Krishna. So I can give it to temple or sponsor fees or, you know, I can give it to some sannyasi. So many ways you can contribute. So this work is helping me in that thing, right? So, you know, I'm going to, so I can use that work. Then at a higher stage, there are people who completely give all the results to Krishna through work, actually, you know, very completely surrendered souls. Then that's what actually later on Krishna is going to describe. At even more reachable stage for us is that acting as Krishna's representative at work. No, I'm not just working for, you know, for money like anybody else, but I am actually representing Krishna. So it's not just wearing tilak and going, but what is my behavior? Am I, you know, are people appreciating my qualities by which they can come closer to Krishna? Like this we can practice day to day, and we can actually spend whole our, you know, so many years at work trying to improve this.
I remember one of the Swamis was also saying that I mean, if you're practicing Krishna consciousness, even like more responsibility, you
yes.
have to behave yourself because you are representing
yes,
correct, you know, a larger
correct.
Thing.
Yeah.
So that's why you have even more responsibilities in order to conduct yourself and how you react to situations
yeah.
and not to, yeah, I mean, at workplace and also.
Yeah, not only at workplace, even in devotee circle, that's what happens. Like, for example, if you're initiated or second initiated or something, you get some amount of respect. Like, you know, people treat you at a certain, or rather, you know, it's not about gaining respect, but it's about setting an example. No, because you can be, you can do a good service to Krishna by being a good example, because that can inspire so many people taking up Krishna consciousness. So, you know, even in devotee circles, we should be so extremely careful, like how we behave. You know, because people don't say it on face sometimes, but actually we are preaching through our behavior. Yeah.
Madhuji, just a quick question. What is the second initiation, like how or when do you get initiated the second time?
Okay. Are we clear about first time?
First time is you take the four vows and for the and chanting the 16 rounds and the ABC
name,
right?
Also.
Yeah.
And given a name.
Yeah.
That time.
That's it. Second one is Brahmanical initiation. As we said, Prabhupada is training all of us. Our Krishna consciousness is helping all of us to become Brahmins. So second initiation, the men get the Gayatri Mantra and the Brahmanical thread.
Mm.
Women get the Gayatri Mantra alone. They don't get the thread
mm.
because they cannot be pure all the time.
What is Gayatri Mantra?
Yeah, Gayatri Mantra. We have Gayatri Mantra. Brahmins
yeah.
chant Gayatri Mantra. We have in Gaudiya Vaishnava different.
Right?
Maybe different, I don't
know.
Bhurbhuvasva only. There are seven mantras.
Hmm.
It's not supposed to be known unless you get the initiation from the spiritual master, but online if you search you'll get it.
Yes.
So unless but
yeah,
they say
okay.
the potency will not be there until your spiritual master
yeah.
says it in your ear.
Okay.
So that initiation, spiritual master gives diksha, and from then on the disciples are qualified to worship the deities. So they can do
the altar
personal
service.
The altar service
so
and
when do you get that? Like, or
it's the spiritual master decides whether when you're ready for that. Whether you know your qualities are in mode of goodness and mostly, Brahmanical initiation also gives us a push-up in preaching. So, devotees who are very much into preaching, if they get second initiation, they can more and more, they can increase their preaching. That can give a boost. It gives a boost in Krishna consciousness also because the Gayatri Mantra helps in chanting the holy name. So, it's like they mutually help each other.
So, you have to chant the Gayatri Mantra also?
Yeah.
What? 16 rounds?
No, three times. It's just three times.
Oh, okay.
Three times during the day and 10 times each time. So it's 30 times. It's it just takes 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes each time. Yeah.
But the Gayatri Mantra is for also for the Supreme One, right? Not for the Gayatri demigod.
Yeah, it's for the Supreme One. Yeah. Okay. So we covered this first, right? Okay. So that is okay, that about the work thing?
Yeah.
So,
Madhuri, one question.
One
yeah,
second.
But it is a very complicated thing to digest, like to put on a track, like we are working for Krishna. To practice it, it's more difficult, I think.
Yeah, so we gave some practical ways. I thought it's more, the way we shared it, it's a little bit practical, right? Not
yeah.
like in the air.
Yeah, but.
Okay. So it may be difficult to apply, you're saying. So for that, what we can do, I've seen this in my life, I practice this. Whenever, let's say, a spiritual master gives instructions also, sometimes, we don't know the full import of that instruction, right? Or we don't know how to execute it perfectly. And actually, the more we try to execute it, we feel like we are far away from following that instruction. Like, for example, I can share. First instruction my spiritual master gave me is that he said, improve your quality of japa. That time I was not even initiated, but I was aspiring. Then I was saying goodbye, like, we are leaving Vrindavan. So, Maharaj, I am leaving like that. Can you please give me some instructions, I asked. Then Maharaj said, improve your quality. Read at least half an hour to 1 hour every day, which I think I am not doing now. And he said, improve your quality of japa. So, at that time, actually, I was so, so neophyte. I was sitting, I'm chanting so perfectly. What is this instruction? Already I'm executing it. See, that's how we could think like that also. One extreme is like, too high, I cannot execute it. Other extreme is I'm already doing it. So then, some amount of sincerity is there by Krishna's mercy. So then, I was praying every day, oh my Guru Maharaj said this instructions to me, how can Krishna, can you reveal to me how, what does it mean to that? So every day I was praying like that. Then I gradually, it was revealing to me, what does it mean? So then gradually we figured out, okay, initially we used to chant like, you know, 10 rounds in the morning, 6 rounds in the evening after coming from work. Then I was like, improving quality japa means I should chant 16 rounds at once. So we shifted it. Somehow we started getting up early, chanting 16 rounds at once. Then again I was thinking, okay, this is still not enough. So what can I do? Oh, getting up a little bit more early, chanting in Brahma Murta helps in chanting better. So we shifted that. Then again, so actually after over a period of time, then we said, okay, actually if we attend Mangalarti and chant, it's even more better. So we change our life such that we attend Mangalarti every day. So it's all surrounding that instruction actually. People may appreciate, oh, okay, they are attending Mangalarti every day. But if we have to go down and glorify somebody, it's because of our spiritual master's instructions. It gave guidance how to lead our life. So it may be as simple as just one line, I already executed it. But you can mold your whole life to execute and fulfill and perfect that instruction. That's what it said, right? Prabhupada said, you know, that's actually the role of a disciple, is to give one's life to serve the instructions of spiritual masters.
But how do you do the validation? I mean, do you do validation at all? Or is it a self-validation to say, oh yeah?
Yeah, you can, as I mentioned, right, from, we can know ourselves, right? I can say for myself, I'll go over this period of 3 years, like as I mentioned, like the phases I mentioned.
Yeah.
Definitely my chanting was getting better. I can see, right? It's getting better. So then I'm proceeding in that instruction further, right? Of course, improve the quality of japa means that I can never actually fulfill that instruction because I can always be improving,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can never reach it. I can never reach it. So that's good. I can whole life, I can work for it. And also, it's like as we become more and more surrendered to the spiritual master gives more and more detailed instructions and more the extra, you know, additional. This is simply related to chanting. Anybody can give. But more and more personal and more and more specific instructions. For that also, like for example, my service, my spiritual master mentioned, is to take care of children and to grow them in Krishna consciousness. So now I can spend rest of 30 years for that service, right? So my life is set. I don't have to go again and say, Maharaj, give me service. It's already there. It's okay. Anyway. Yeah, so what I'm saying is, main thing is like, you know, if you're really sincere in doing that, you can, you or your husband can pray, Krishna, how can you reveal to me how this work is service to you? Because that's the whole thing about spiritual matters, it has to be revealed. We cannot see, we always see with our own blunt vision, our own vision of sense gratification, right? We always see black and white, you know, good and bad, and this thing, right, duality, we see through dualities. But if we want to see it transcendentally, we have to pray for that vision. How Krishna gave that divya drishti, or you know, jnana chakshu they say. But Krishna says, you know, I give you the divine vision by which you can see me. Krishna shows universal form and said, you know, nobody can see this form. But Arjuna, I'm going to give you the vision by which you can see me. So Krishna has to reveal that to us. So in any form, actually, sometimes we may say, oh, I'm serving in temple, I'm doing service. But we may not be really seeing that as service. I may be doing very mechanically. So Krishna, please reveal to me the glory of your holy name. Please reveal to me glory of prasadam, glory of devotees. So every day, you know, before chanting, we have one prayer like this. And if we do it consistently, we'll see how Krishna reveals gradually. Okay. We went off.
What we are referring to, like inaction?
Inaction means
for
not
example,
acting.
Not acting for Krishna consciousness or not acting for...
This actually, mainly it's in a jnana platform. Like, you know, just withdrawing all your activities.
Mm.
Okay, it will be more clearer next verses. It's, we are going to cover the same points. Next verse, text number 17. कर्मणो हि अपि बोधव्यं बोधव्यं च विकर्मणः अकर्मणश्च बोधव्यं गहना कर्मणो गति. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. So it's we understand this, right? sometimes we think, oh, I'll get this job, but you know, the intricacies of what is involved in first of all getting the job, and after I go there, what happens? No, it becomes very complex sometimes our life. We think, oh, I'm doing it for service to Krishna. But we may make our life so complicated that we don't have any time for Krishna. Somebody was saying the other day, I may have the capacity to build a temple for Krishna, so Vishwanath Prabhu, right? So I'll work hard, get all the money, so you know, I can build a temple for Krishna. But you, in the process, we may complicate our life and not even chant, and we forget all the way, you know, that we are doing it for Krishna, and we may be so neophyte. So that's why intricacies of action are very hard. So that's why spiritual guide is very important in our lives. So Krishna is saying, these are the three factors. What action is? Action is called karma. You can write down if you want. Forbidden action is vikarma and inaction is akarma. So Krishna is going to, one should know, Krishna is saying one should know properly what is karma, what is vikarma, what is akarma. So you can act appropriately. In the purport, Prabhupada elaborates a little bit. So action, karma is actually, there are many meanings for karma. Karma can also mean reactions, karma can also be action, right? But generally karma, in this context, karma means actions according to Vedas. Acting according to the prescribed Vedas is karma. And vikarma is acting against the prescriptions of the Vedas. Or, you know, sinful activities. And inaction, akarma, is action in Krishna consciousness is akarma.
Can you repeat my last line?
Last line?
What did you say?
Akarma? Akarma is action in Krishna consciousness.
So, karma is inaction.
No. Karma is, as per the Bhagavad Veda says, vikarma is opposite, like, and akarma is in Krishna consciousness.
So, what is akarma here? It means what action in
inaction?
Inaction is
akarma. Yeah.
Yes.
Action, forbidden action, and inaction.
So the akarma is used in two different contexts.
Yes.
One is in literal inaction. Other one is in
action. No, actually inaction is used in two different ways. Akarma is always means the same.
Yeah.
But when we say inaction, as we mentioned last verse, it means not acting.
Mm.
But in this verse, it means akarma, means acting but without getting reactions. Okay, so we'll read
not doing according to Vedas.
Yes. So we'll read the fourth line. To understand Krishna consciousness.
To understand Krishna consciousness and action according to its modes, one has to learn one's relationship with the Supreme. That is, one who has learned perfectly knows that every living entity is an external survival.
Eternal
survival of the Lord, and that consequently one has to act in Krishna consciousness. The entire Bhagavad Gita is directed towards this conclusion, and any other conclusions against this consciousness and its attendant actions are vikarmas or prohibited actions. To understand all this, one has to associate with Bhaktis and Krishna consciousness and learn the secret from them. This is as good as learning from the Lord directly. Otherwise, even the most diligent persons will be bewildered.
See, actually Prabhupada is wonderful, like, you know, the definition I gave for karma, vikarma generally stands for good. But what Prabhupada is telling in, no? Any action in Krishna consciousness is good, otherwise everything else is vikarma. That's all, no? Very clear. That's why Prabhupada never misses the point. He directly says, you know, just serve Krishna, otherwise you're nonsense. Right? See the two lines. Every living entity is eternal servitor of the Lord, and that consequently one has to act in Krishna consciousness. So that is the proper action. Entire Bhagavad Gita is directed towards this conclusion. Any other conclusions against this consciousness that, you know, I am the servant of the Lord, and its attendant actions are vikarmas or prohibited actions. That means if you act not thinking yourself a servant of Krishna, means it's a vikarma actually. Very clear. Very blunt. So then Prabhupada said, you know, it's very difficult to understand then, you know, how to act in Krishna consciousness. Then he's saying, you know, we have to learn the secret from authorities. Whenever we have in doubt, like, you know, how to act in, how to see the situation as service to Krishna, or how to, in this situation, how to act in Krishna consciousness, how to act, then we can ask some, you know, we can discuss with devotees, then Krishna will actually be revealed in the situation. So the other day, one incident happened. I was mentioning in the home, right? The kids, somebody shouted at them and everything.
Yeah.
So somehow, you know, the kids came to our home, and then we were discussing the situation and how to see this as Krishna's mercy. Then so many things came out actually, and you know, after that we made a plan that, you know, we should meet every once in 2 weeks and, you know, have a discussion like this. So this all, you know, Krishna reveals the situations, you know, how to see Krishna.
So bad situation,
yeah,
became a good situation.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Mm. Yeah. Okay. So we'll go to the next verse, 18. Karmani akarmaya pashyet, akarmani cha karmaya, sa buddhiman manusheshu, sa yukta krishna karma krit. Krishna karma krit. Although engaged in all activities.
Why it is KRTSN?
It's not Krishna,
Krishna.
It's something
Krishna.
Else.
Krishna.
Krishna.
If it had only Krishna, then it would have been like capital K, right?
No. Krishna,
the
Hindi Kra is a Kra.
Krishna.
No, that is not for that. The Sha will be written.
T is there.
Krithas.
Krithas.
Okay, go on. Okay, one who sees, okay, let's see who understands this verse. One who sees inaction in action and action in inaction. He is intelligent among men and he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities.
This we can discuss earlier also.
Yeah, we remember when
second chapter
we refer to this verse.
This is like the
night and day, day and night.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Is it the same? One who sees sage,
the day for him and night for him, same verse, right?
So in that verse we discuss this verse, when we discussing that verse, day and night, right, we discuss this, it's the same thing. So hopefully somebody will now summarize what it is.
Okay,
maybe you will get more confused. It's okay, let me just you know, multiple interpretations. Okay. So
verse number,
that one, yeah, verse number, you know, we can refer the index and
yeah, I don't remember.
Tell the first line, we can refer the index.
Yeah, Nisha Sarva Bhutana Asyam Jagati Sanyam Asyam Jagati Bhutani
second chapter.
It's the second chapter somewhere.
Towards the end.
Towards the end, yeah.
It's 2.69. Okay, write down and move on. Okay, so one who sees inaction in action and action in inaction is intelligent among men, and he is in transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. So one who sees inaction in action. I explained this to the kids, so we can write a chart for this. So, so the second phrase, second part of the phrase is the what is what the person is doing. Inaction, inaction. So inaction means he is really acting, right? While acting, one sees inaction. While performing all his activities, he is seeing inaction or akarma. That means while performing all his activities, he is not getting any reactions. Who is that person? Person in
Krishna
consciousness. Okay, so the first one is person in Krishna consciousness. And, or rather, you know, that's how a person in Krishna consciousness acts. And action in inaction. That means a person is actually inacting. That means he is not literally doing anything. But he is getting reactions. He is acting.
Mm-hmm.
No, action in inaction. While he is not doing anything, he is getting reactions. So one who understands both of these, he is an experienced man. Because he is going to act favorably in the first way. So one should know both of them. One should know that, you know, there is a way I can act without getting reactions. And at the same time, there is a way if I withdraw without connecting it to Krishna, I am going to get reactions. Got it?
So is the second phase for person who has withdrawn?
No, no. See, both are related actually. No, it's, I just summarized it in this line now. one who knows that if we act in Krishna consciousness, one doesn't get reactions, and when one acts without connecting it to Krishna, one gets reactions. Right? That is the second one. Right? One has to know both of them.
If you are connecting with Krishna, then
you will not get any reactions. And if I don't connect with Krishna, even if I don't do anything, I'm going to get reactions.
Okay. Even
got it?
If you are not consciousness, in the second part, inaction is like inactivity. So
no. Yes, correct. The second part, inaction is inactivity.
Mm-hmm.
But he is going to get reactions.
Reaction because
yes.
not.
Because he's not connected to Krishna. For example, yogis withdraw from everything, don't do activity, but on the way they step on an ant.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They are going to get reactions for that. So even though literally they are not, externally they are withdrawing their senses,
mm-hmm.
they are getting reactions.
Okay.
So second phrase is what the person is doing, and the first phrase is the reactions they are going to get. Okay? Inaction means he's not getting any reactions even though acting. And the second part of the sentence is, even though not acting, he is getting reactions. The person who understands both of them is an experienced man, because he is going to act wisely. So everybody clear? So then he is in the transcendental position, Krishna says, and although he is engaged in all sorts of activities, that means even though he is doing all activities, he is not going to get any reactions. So let's read the purport, full purport. Anybody can?
Person acting in Krishna consciousness is naturally free from the
maybe
bonds
not
of
full
karma.
Mm.
His activities are all performed for Krishna. Therefore, he does not enjoy or suffer any of the effects of work.
Yeah, we have heard this so many times, right?
Mm.
He's free from, it's basically he's doing all akarma, and akarma doesn't, or rather in devotional service, it doesn't have any reactions. And three lines. So this one is about, so Prabhupada is explaining inaction in action.
Right.
Okay, you can write down next to it if you want.
Yeah.
The three lines, the first paragraph explains, first phrase, inaction. So he's explaining how, even though he's acting, he's not going to get any reactions. Right? Okay, now further down, three lines further. The impersonalist
ceases fruitive activities out of fear, so that the resultant action may not be a stumbling block on the path of self-realization.
We can pause there. So here he's talking about now inaction, a person who is doing inaction. But you know, in the purport he doesn't complete how he gets the reactions. But he proper switches to a different line of thought. But we can understand, see, impersonalist, this is what he does. He ceases all his activities out of fear that he's going to get reactions, but anyway he's going to get reactions. Because he's going to, by nature of work in this world, you're going to get reactions.
So that's action and
inaction. Inaction, okay? So you can write next to that, this is action in inaction. Now Prabhupada says, you know, even though impersonalist works like this, what is a better way of working? So that is, the personalist.
The personalist knows rightly his position as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he engages himself in activities of Krishna consciousness. Because everything is done for Krishna, he enjoys only transcendental happiness in the discharge of his service. Those who are engaged in this process are known to be without desire for personal sense gratification. The sense of eternal servitorship to Krishna makes one immune to all sorts of reactionary elements of work.
Mm. Yeah, so the solution is to act in the sense of eternal servitorship to Krishna.
So I was trying to read this in the car, Matari. It made my head spin.
Mm-hmm.
So now I understand what in the company of devotees means.
In the company of devotees? Oh, okay.
That's why I said to understand.
Okay.
To understand.
Yeah, that's right.
So understanding English is not...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even if you put a dictionary, you will not be able to understand.
Right.
Yeah. This is what devotees have to reveal to us. Yeah. It's very sweet. Once we understand this, you know, we feel like explaining to everyone actually. Because it's very nice. Yeah.
Sure, because I was thinking about that only.
What, like how we can explain to others?
Yeah.
Yeah. Text number 9, we'll move on then?
Yeah.
Okay. Text number 19. यस्य सर्वे समारंभा काम संकल्प वर्जिता ज्ञानाग्नि दग्ध कर्मानं तम आहु पंडितं बुधा. One is understood to be in full knowledge whose every endeavor is devoid of desire for sense gratification. He is said by the sages to be the worker for whom the reactions of work have been burned up by the fire of perfect knowledge. Now see, if you see this clearly, right, Krishna is telling how to act with knowledge. So one is understood to be in full knowledge. So how does he act? His every endeavor is devoid of desire for sense gratification. So it doesn't mean he doesn't act, but he acts, but he doesn't desire any sense gratification from his actions. And as a result of which, he doesn't also get any reactions, because the knowledge is going to burn the reactions. This knowledge is perfect, transcendental knowledge.
So Mataji, I had a question there when I was reading that.
Huh.
So okay, so right now, let's say we are doing akarma, right? So now we are not getting any reactions, but what about all our past karmas?
Yeah, those also, the power of devotion service, he burns all the previous reactions.
That also is gone.
Gone is going.
Going.
Yeah.
No, once you do, it is gone.
I balance.
No, once you know, once you keep on doing.
Yeah.
Once you do, it's what is not one day, right?
And most important, don't.
No, it's
relapse.
No, yeah, that is the main thing, right?
Yeah.
No, when
stop accruing, you know, that kind of karma, that's more important.
Yeah.
Then worry about what you have already accrued to clean that up.
Yeah.
No, the problem is we don't know how much that unknown is. So you have to keep doing, assuming that there is much more strong there. I was saying gone means he'll take care of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Not gone as in it's done once and
But how to make sure that we are doing a karma like in the whole 24 hours? If I will evaluate myself, maybe few times I will remember, I'm doing for, maybe I'm doing for myself, but theoretically I will try to teach myself, maybe like for in whole 24 minutes, even 24 minutes is too much.
That's what is called consciousness, right? You need to be very conscious as to what you're doing things.
Now my question is, we are talking like a karma, but in whole day we are not doing, I am not doing even karma for like more than two minutes. So means how to increase that thing, like, so that we will, whatever the karma we are doing, we will gradually transform from karma to a karma. Not just theoretical understanding.
Yes, exactly.
Even though I will think whole day, I am doing a karma, but it's not a karma, right? It's just a theoretically my mental concoction. Yes, I'm thinking I'm doing a karma, but it's really I'm not doing.
Yeah, so that's why, you know, this has to be revealed by Krishna. There are so many ways we've discussed, like how work can be service to Krishna. So what we have to do is, how everything I do is a service to Krishna. That has to be revealed to us, and we have to act in that consciousness. Like for example, when we don't have that knowledge how to act, then we can pray to Krishna to reveal. For example, as I mentioned, right, about japa also I was praying. Similarly, when I got this instruction, like, you know, kids is a service to Krishna, I didn't know initially what does it mean. So I was praying every day to Krishna. Krishna revealed to me how this is a service to you. Now gradually it's being revealed actually. So now when it's being revealed means I'm acting in that platform, then I'm connecting with Krishna.
So it means
you can pray. If we are not able to see, of course we can ask experienced devotees, they can share, you know, how, for example, how taking care of family is a service to Krishna.
Right.
But as you can hear that, but you know, until you act in that way, we always act materially. So we need to have that vision, spiritual vision, ourselves. So that comes when Krishna reveals to us based on our sincerity. Otherwise, we always act artificially.
Even though we are serving in temple, still maybe that is just artificial.
Exactly, yes. That's what I was telling, right? You may be serving in temple, but we don't have the consciousness that I'm doing for Krishna. Or somebody may be completely, totally at home, but they have full consciousness
right.
Is for Krishna.
Right.
So it's all about their, how Krishna is revealing to them based on their sincerity in their service. So actually, thank you so much. I was hearing one lecture and I was somehow, you know, while getting ready for the class, some points were reoccurring to me. I was thinking somehow I want to share this, but I didn't know in what context it will come through. But now I think I have the connecting point. So I was hearing this lecture about Radhanath Maharaj was sharing about eagerness to hear, eagerness to chant. How, you know, one should develop that eagerness. And Maharaj was sharing, it's actually, you know, we should be so eager to hear about Krishna, so much, you know, it's all about our eagerness, how Krishna reveals to us. If you attend a class, maybe five people attend the same class, but you know, the amount of spiritual joy or happiness or, you know, or the Krishna's reciprocation we get in that class is all based on our eagerness. Now, how much we are eager to hear what Krishna is saying, how much we are eager to hear how Krishna reciprocates with devotees, how much we are eager to hear what are the deeper meanings, how I can apply, how much I am eager to hear or how day to day I can apply this and perfect my life. It's all about eagerness. And Maharaj was giving an example, if we are eager, so eager actually, so eager, so thirsty for Krishna, even if the speaker is not learned, speaker is, you know, doesn't know philosophically well, you know, maybe the verses they cannot quote properly, because of our eagerness, Krishna speaks through them and he gives deeper realizations for us. So Krishna is so eager to reciprocate with your eagerness to hear about him that, you know, okay, take, hear about me, he'll give fully himself. So that's what I was telling, you know, if we are eager to see Krishna in our services, you know, Krishna, I really want to see you, you know, whole day, I'm 24 minutes only, I'm remembering you. But in every minute, whatever I'm doing, I want to see you. Please show me, in this cooking, how can I see you? Please show me in my, you know, the deity worship while doing aarti, how can I see you? Please show me while I'm taking care of my kids, how can I see you? Right? If we have that eagerness to see Krishna, Krishna reveals. Otherwise, everything will be always, we'll always be, you know, even though we are hearing about Krishna so much, we will never live in Krishna consciousness. So if we don't have that realization, we can pray always. Prayer always helps. You know, gradually our prayer becomes sincere. Then Krishna will reveal. Okay, so did we read the purport at all? No. Okay. We can just start reading the purport.
Only a person in full knowledge can understand the activities of a person in Krishna consciousness. Because the person in Krishna consciousness is divided.
Okay, we can pause there. Actually, first line itself is completely, you know, pregnant. Prabhupada is saying only a person in full knowledge can understand the activities of a person in Krishna consciousness. No, this is a very, very heavy sentence actually, you know. Because this shows actually we cannot judge people. Because unless we are also at that consciousness, we cannot really understand a person who is experienced. Sometimes we may say, oh, this person, you know, is acting like this, you know, he's preaching in this way. What does it mean, you know, is it really Krishna conscious? Because we are not having that Krishna consciousness, we cannot understand what that is. So at a very, you know, safe way is to just humbly think that, you know, I cannot understand it. It's not my level to judge everybody. I'll just continue with my service. Or sometimes it may be like, you know, after some time we get familiar with people. Like, you know, some person initially it may feel like, oh, awe and reverence, so wonderful, I want to be close. After coming close, slowly we will find different things. We don't know why this person is acting like this, you know. Then we start judging and we, you know, start finding faults. Then this one, you know, and also it may happen even to a spiritual master. We may become familiar and so much in contact with spiritual master, we may start thinking him as ordinary person. Like, oh, why this person is doing like this? No, we bring them down to our level. Mayavadism it becomes. So it's very crucial, this one, you know. Unless one is fully Krishna conscious, they cannot understand. So it said that we cannot judge the activities of pure devotees. Because it's all their consciousness. Sometimes they act very contrary to religious principles also. Sometimes, seemingly. Seemingly they break the rules. But it's all, for example, gopis, right? They ran from their homes to see meet Krishna. Seemingly it's a religious activity. But it's, you know, they are glorified as perfect pure devotees. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyasi, he says, let's follow the footsteps of the gopis. Okay, so we can guard against this one. Okay, next, this, because the person in Krishna consciousness.
Because the person in Krishna consciousness is devoid of all kinds of sense gratificatory propensities. It is to be understood that he has burned up the reactions of his work by perfect knowledge of his constitutional position as eternal servitor of Supreme Personality of God.
Yeah, we can pause there. So Prabhupada is saying how the reactions are getting burned because of the perfect knowledge of his constitutional position. Because of which he does only akarma, because of which all his reactions for work are going to be get burnt. Okay, so next two lines, development of this knowledge.
Development of this knowledge of eternal servitorship to the Lord is compared to fire. Such a fire, once kindled, can burn up all kinds of reactions to work.
So that's what we are doing. We are increasing the fire. That fire is burning up previous reactions. Also, it's stopping the new reactions. What happened, Prabhu?
No, I was just remembering what Velukudi Swami was saying about the power of chanting, right? So he gives an example of a cave, right? There is a cave that's been dark for centuries, and somebody comes and lights a lamp. Then the darkness has to go immediately. So similarly, the Lord's name is so powerful, it's not like you have to keep chanting like for as many janmas that you have taken, that it has, it's just like the darkness can't say, you know, I've been burning for centuries, now you burn for 20 years, then I'll go. So it will go immediately.
Oh, very nice, correct.
So then fire thing.
So there is a similar verse, you can note down this verse and refer to it maybe when you are studying. In 10th chapter, 10.11, where Krishna says, he burns up, I'll just read the translation. Tesham evanukan partham, aham agnana jamtamaha, nashayame atma bhavasto, jnana deepena bhashvata. To show them special mercy, I dwelling within their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance. So here in this, there are four verses called Chatushloki Gita, and the conclusion of that is this verse, where Krishna says, you know, these devotees are constantly serving me with love, and you know, for them I give the understanding. Now if you see the earlier verse, 10.10, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So you know, we just have to be devoted to Krishna and pray to Krishna, reveal to me, and Krishna from within gives the knowledge how they can come to Krishna. So similarly, what Krishna does, he, with the knowledge, he is going to burn the ignorance from the heart, from within. So that's the fire we are talking about. Because Krishna from within, he is going to remove the darkness. See, this is what it means, right? How we progress in Krishna consciousness is revealed by Krishna. He gives the intelligence from within. How to proceed step by step, Krishna directs us. He is already giving us, but we are not hearing most of the time. So that's why when we have the turn the radio more, like, you know, pray, then mostly, you know, we are more tuning in to that message. Okay. So we'll go to the next word. So I don't know what's it on.
Here the reactions are the current reactions of the actions or burning up the reactions?
It's both actually. Devotional service has a potency to... First of all, it's akarma, and also the power of devotional service burns previous reactions. And also it said that the moment of initiation, all your karma is uphold. It's like stopped. It's stopped. It's not taken away. It's stopped. It's held.
It's stopped.
It's stopped. So whenever, you know, if we make a mistake, Krishna releases a little bit. So, you know, we get to listen. So...
That's a good point. I was like presuming so far like it.
It's literally gone, it's like in a pause state. We can get it back. If we completely, you know, violate rules and regulations, we can get it back. Yeah. Text number 20. Otherwise, so many people will cheat Krishna.
In India, companies, they offer super annuity. So you work for 5 years, then you get that money. If you quit company before 5 years, you lose that.
Yeah.
So here, even though you lose, you will quit in the last breath, you will get all the reaction.
Or is the reverse? You take the Lord's name in the last place.
Generally, it doesn't happen. It's not that. Because whatever we are thinking whole life, that will happen.
You have to be conscious enough in your lifetime in order to say that last word in the last breath.
Yeah.
Right?
That's actually a good one.
Conscious enough to say that in the last time.
Everything is connected.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Let's continue with the next verse. So actually verse number, I think this is the verse 20. This verse talks about a sadhaka. So all of us, right? Tyaktva karma phala sangam nitya drupto nirashraya karmani abhi pravrutto api naiva kinchit karoti sa. Abandoning all attachment to the results of his activities, ever satisfied and independent, he performs no fruitive action, although engaged in all kinds of undertakings. So this is a practicing devotee, sadhaka. Like we should all be, you know, aiming to follow these points. Abandoning all attachment to the results of his activities. It's clear, right? No. Prabhupada is going to elaborate this point by point. Is it? No, not in this verse. Okay. Ever satisfied and independent.
But the fruitive action is in relation to his desire for the results.
Yes.
If he did not desire the result, this doesn't become fruitive action. If he desires results, then it becomes fruitive action. But he could be doing the same thing.
Yes. For Krishna.
For Krishna.
Yes. Yeah. He performs no fruitive action, although engaged. But and he can also be fruitful for Krishna. He can be fruitive for Krishna. We don't want to make service for Krishna and, you know, make it a floppy thing or, you know, sloppy job for Krishna, right? We don't want to cook thinking, oh, I'm not, do not expect results and, you know, put as much salt as possible, right? We want it to be pleasing to Krishna.
Yes.
That's the result we want. Although engaged in all kinds of undertakings. Okay? I think you did it.
Basically, we will remain result oriented. This is our nature, right? Means
yes.
We look for that.
You are dovetailing that result oriented nature in Krishna service.
Yes, sure.
This freedom from bondage, we can read the purport.
The freedom from the bondage of actions is possible only in Krishna consciousness. When one is doing everything for Krishna, a Krishna consciousness person acts out of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore he has no attraction for the results of the action. He is not even attached to his personal maintenance.
Okay, one second. Actually, if you read clearly, one by one in the verse is explained here. I didn't mark it when I was reading. So far, Prabhupada explained the first point, abandoning all attachment to the results of our activities. Why? Because he acts only out of pure love for Krishna and he has no attraction for the results for action. So that's the first point. You can mark it as 1, 2, 3 in the... I didn't get my pencil. Okay. You can mark it 1, 2, 3 on the verse and mark the same in the purport. So abandoning all attachment to results is the first point. Second one is ever satisfied and independent. Third one, no fruitive action. So let's mark the same in the purport. We'll see that. Okay, now second, continue. He is not even attached to personal maintenance. Prabhu?
Yes. For everything is left to Krishna, nor is he anxious to secure things, nor to protect things already in his possession.
So these are all about being satisfied. And independent means he is not depending on anybody actually for his living. He is just dependent on Krishna. He is not dependent on material nature or anybody else for his living, maintenance.
So this is second point?
Yeah, second point.
He does his duty to the best of his ability and leaves everything to Krishna. Such as unattached person is always free from the resultant reactions of good and bad. It is as though he were not doing anything.
Okay, so this is the third point. He performs no fruitive action. A third or fourth, whichever point. Right? How? Because, you know, he doesn't have any reaction, result, he's free from reactions because he's unattached. He's not hankering for results. That's why he doesn't get any reactions. Yeah.
This is the sign of a karma or actions without fruitive reactions.
Mm.
Any.
Okay, see, this very careful here. A karma is action without fruitive reactions. But as we mentioned, in Krishna service, we can have fruitive, we can do fruitive action. Prabhu, Rajesh Prabhu. Rakesh Prabhu.
Yes,
I keep confused about all this. Both of them are here. See, we can have a fruitive desire to please Krishna. But that action is without fruitive reactions. We don't get reactions. Got it? Akarma is, it could be a fruitive action without fruitive reactions. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
The first time about fruitive action is the reaction.
In the sense, we want fruit for Krishna.
Okay.
Fruitive not for me, right? I can desire a fruit for Krishna, right? Fruitive action in that sense, which is without fruitive reactions.
What is fruitive reaction?
Fruitive action for karma doesn't call fruitive reaction.
Oh, Prabhu, you are so confused.
What is fruitive reaction?
Fruitive reaction is karma. You know, reactions we get, right?
Fruitive reactions. Yeah.
That,
the
reactions
that is the reaction
reactions.
Of our karma. So,
yes.
What is why is fruitive such a.
Yeah.
What is the significance of fruitive?
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Without fruitive reactions.
The common fruitive reactions.
Fruitive reactions in the sense when the action itself is fruitive, Prabhupada is saying, you know, the reactions will be. He meant to say reactions for a fruitive work.
Fruitive results is also there, right? Isn't
Prabhu, please. It's all same. So, here, when what he means by fruitive reactions are reactions coming from the from actions which are desiring for our own sense gratification.
Mm.
Okay, fruitive actions.
Where we are the subject.
Based on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so any other action, therefore.
Any other action, therefore, devoid of Krishna consciousness is binding upon the worker.
Means it binds the worker. Mm.
Binds the worker.
Yes, it binds the worker.
This is a typo.
We are binding upon.
No, that's what it means. I don't know, it's typo.
No, it's binding upon the worker is fine.
Say,
binding
yeah,
upon the worker is actually more apt.
And that is the real aspect of vikarma as explained herein before.
Mm. Okay, so Prabhupada is very clear. He's saying any other action, if it's devoid of Krishna consciousness, it binds the worker. That means the worker is bound by the reactions. Okay. That becomes vikarma. Okay. So we got all the points, right? Abandoning all attachment to the results of his activities, ever satisfied and independent, he performs no fruitive action. Although he is engaged in all kinds of undertakings for Krishna.
Is the third point is till end, or it has three points or 4 points?
3 points. So satisfied and independent.
That's
we are calling it together.
Mataji, this Chapter 2, verse 64. Hmm. Raga dvesha vimukta chitta yogi atma atma shree shree atma prasada vimukta. We have a person people want attachment and aversion to be able to control the senses to regulate
the principles.
He's been,
Krishna
has been saying this thing in the previous
chapter.
Third aspect,
right?
Yeah.
Because it's the same nishkama karma only, right?
Yes.
He always says, you know, abandon attachment to your results. That's the same point has been coming so long.
You keep saying that.
Yeah, so many times.
But we don't get it.
Yeah.
See, that's what it is, right?
We seem to get it, but we don't get it.
Every time we really
okay, should we go on?
But Mataji, I have one question here. The line is, he is not even attached to his personal maintenance.
Yeah.
Which I didn't get that line. It's like a little more confusing. Like, we were discussing like we are doing work and we are trying to connect that work for... towards we are doing like office work or anything, we are trying to connect with the Krishna consciousness. But here it's like he is not even attached to his personal
mentor. This is a very, very high platform. We'll explain it. Prabhupada is going to explain that point exactly in the next purport. So we'll discuss that and elaborate in that if it's still not clear.
So personal maintenance is not like for your self well being, you know. Is that what it is?
We'll discuss in the next purport.
Just some teasers.
Text 21. Nirasiryata chittatma tyakta sarva parigraha शारीरं केवलं कर्म कुर्वन् आप्नोति किल्बिषम्. Such a man of understanding acts with mind and intelligence perfectly controlled, gives up all sense of proprietorship over his possessions, and acts only for the bare necessities of life. Thus working, he is not affected by sinful reactions. So here 21 and 22 is the Siddha or you know perfected devotee. 20 is a practicing devotee as we discussed.
Sorry.
No, we all sadhaka, we are all supposed to do be like that. And the perfection of that is the consciousness which is reflected in the verse 21 and 22. So eventually when we act like this in the verse number 20, we should be becoming like this. Like person acting with mind and intelligence perfectly controlled, giving up all sense of proprietorship over his possessions, and acting only for the bare necessities of life. And as a result, again, we don't get any reactions. Okay. So here also we can write 1 to 3 points. So we can write that in the verse and then I will cover it in the purport. We can start reading the purport. A Krishna conscious person.
A Krishna conscious person does not expect good or bad result in his activities. His mind and intelligence are fully controlled.
Okay, that is first point. So actually Prabhupada just paraphrased the translation, so he didn't elaborate on this. He doesn't expect good and bad results. So basically, he's not disturbed when he gets good or bad, seemingly from the material point of view. So his mind and intelligence are controlled that way. Okay, yeah, I think he explains it. Got it? See, when we do certain activity, if we get good, we get disturbed. Or no, if we get good, we get disturbed in a good way.
Yeah.
If we get bad, we get disturbed, right? But a Krishna conscious person doesn't expect anything for himself. Whatever it is, it's for Krishna. So he doesn't get disturbed like that. So his mind and intelligence are fully controlled. And that means he doesn't waver from his service. Whatever happens, he keeps the service attitude and continues his service. Okay, so that's the first point. The next one.
He knows. Continue. He knows that because he is part and parcel of the Supreme, the part played by him. As a part and parcel of the whole is not his own activity, but is only being done through him by the
Supreme. This is the second point. That you know, he gives up all sense of proprietorship over his possessions because he knows he is not real doer. Right? We discussed that, right? What is that verse? We by-hearted that verse. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasham mahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. This ahankara vimudatma, person influenced by the false ego, thinks he is a doer of the activities which are actually carried out by
three
modes of material nature. So he also thinks that, you know, I'm part of this whole. I'm just acting like a part of the machine. So I'm not going to claim proprietorship over the resources or results or whatever it is. Right? Okay. So they continue with the third point now.
When the hands moves, it does not move out.
It's still the second point.
But by the endeavor of the whole body. A Krishna conscious person is always doubted with the supreme desire, for he has no desire for personal sense gratification. He moves exactly like a part of a machine.
Okay, this is still second point so far. Okay, now third point starts. Third point is about maintenance. He acts only for the bare necessities of life, right? Okay, so that is as a machine part.
As a machine part requires oiling and cleaning for maintenance. So a Krishna consciousness man maintains himself by his work just to remain fit for action in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. He is therefore immune to all the reactions of his
endeavor. So we can pause there. So basically what he does is, whatever is needed for just bare minimum for his maintenance day to day for his service, that's what he just tries to acquire, not beyond that for himself. He could do much more for Krishna. Got it? But for myself, I just keep, you know, that's what somebody was saying, no? Every day, even though I'm a billionaire or millionaire or a beggar, I'm going to eat only 2 chapatis at the end of the day. For that, you know, why I have to spend so much? So much endeavor, why? It's like that. So, you know, for their maintenance, just for my maintenance, whatever is required to, for me to continue my service, we can acquire that. So he just works for bare maintenance for himself. So continue 4 lines down the line. The fourth point, which is about he's not affected by sinful reactions. A Krishna conscious person fully engaged in self realization.
A Krishna conscious person fully engaged in self realization has very little time to falsely possess any material object. For maintaining body and soul, he does not require unfair means of accumulating money. He does not, therefore, become contaminated by such material things. He is free from all reactions to his actions.
Okay, so he doesn't do any unfair means for accumulating money because he just wants only minimum, which he can get anyway. So that's why he is not affected by, he doesn't do any sins. And he also doesn't get any reactions because of his endeavors. Okay? Okay, so now this question, Prabhu, is it answered? You were asking
personal
this one.
Maintenance.
Personal maintenance. Yeah. He is not even attached for his personal maintenance. Okay? First, in one level, it means that, you know, he just works for bare necessities. Right, actually that purport, the meaning there is much higher, very very deeper, which is he actually depends on Krishna for his maintenance. Like, you know, Krishna is going to provide me whatever is necessary for my maintenance. Of course, it means I have to do that work. It doesn't mean I have to sit idle. I will sit idle and no chapatis fly come. It means I will do that work. I will end up doing that work to get that, you know.
That's the 2.47.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That verse where it says, you know, Krishna says, you know,
you
at the same time,
do
not be attached to not doing your action. You will know that verse, right? Yeah. Do your duty, do not be attached to the results.
Karma
neva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachina ma na phal karma phala hetupur na
tapi
karma na te sangasta karma. Yeah, so he is not even attached for his personal maintenance. That means, you know, it's, if you have certain standard of living, it's not like, you know, I have to strive even to maintain that. Sometimes Krishna may take away everything, I'm okay. Because Krishna will take, sometimes Krishna can give more than that, it's also okay. It's more than okay many times. But so, because whatever it is, wherever I am just going to serve Krishna. Okay. Okay, Prabhu? Amit Prabhu.
Yes,
So should we go to the next verse? Oh, it's all just 2 minutes. Okay. Yeah, it's a small one. Or maybe you should stop. Yeah, I think we can stop here.
In the word by word translation, like so the bare, working only for the bare necessities of life is maintenance, keeping the, trying to keep the body and soul together. Right?
Yeah. We do much more than that, right? Body, keeping, we do much more than
do
keeping.
Do nothing for the soul.
We do so much for that, just for that. Yeah, actually, I was referring to this, I can share this. So when we were inviting, you know, advanced devotees to come and bless our children in Krishna consciousness. So I think it was just 3 months, and our mentor Mukundatta Prabhu, he was visiting with his wife. Very soon. Even now he's not here. He went away from Seattle. So then he was saying, very very Prabhupada disciple, elderly person. So he was saying, you know, so much absorption in parenting. Like, you know, at every age, so much, you know, at small age you have to feed everything, you know, people even take care of their sleeping. As they grow up, you know, their school, everything, you know, after some time, you know, their teenage, those problems. After some time, marriage, so much absorption in parenting, you know, happy parenting, you're saying. And what I understood, I don't know whether he said it or what realization I got is, like, I only shared actually. When I heard that, the realization occurred to me is like, Prabhu, that much absorption if we have in Krishna, we would have become pure devotees so quickly. But you know, we cannot do that. So, you know, we have to absorb ourselves in so many activities. No, then Prabhupada, of course, you know, somehow the grace is we can dovetail these activities service to Krishna and get credit. That's the only option we have. Prabhupada was one Prabhupada's disciple, Malati Mataji. She was very surrendered disciple, very much dedicated to Prabhupada's service. Initial days, she was instrumental in building London Temple, along with five other devotees, along with she and her husband. So one day she fell sick, so she was in the hospital, and Prabhupada came to visit her. Prabhupada is she is very dear to Prabhupada. And then she was saying, Prabhupada, I'm not able to do any service. I'm just, because she's very active and she does so many things for Prabhupada. I'm not able to do any service. I'm just chanting whole day. Prabhupada said, that's a goal. We are meant to eventually come to a stage where we can chant whole day, because you guys are, because the Westerners are very restless. I have to give you so many engagements so you can keep remembering Krishna while you're doing things. Because you cannot otherwise, if you just say sit and chant, you may not be able to chant 24 hours. So I give you so many engagements so that while doing cooking, while doing cleaning, while doing book distribution, you remember Krishna somehow or the other. But otherwise, the goal is to chant Hare Krishna 24 hours.
What do the Westerners think Hare Krishna and the TV? Everybody sits in front of the TV 2 hours. That's the culture. India is actually 24 hours.
TV is the center of the.
The TV goes.
That's a good example. Ultimate goal is.
Yeah.
Customer via different activities.
Yeah, different. So now what we do is, while doing different activities, we try to remember Krishna. Eventually, that becomes.
Like, even though, like, you are serving.
Or
in
serving. Yes.
Kind of service, but
yes.
You are trying to remember.
Trying to remember Krishna, and then slowly, that remembrance of Krishna is like a fire. It's burning up. It's lighting. It's becoming bigger. So then, at any moment, hopefully, we'll never forget Krishna at all. Every time, then it will not be 24 minutes. It will be like every minute, every person we see, we always see them connected to Krishna, always see how to serve them, how to bring them closer to Krishna. And in any accident or anything, we'll remember Krishna. Any misfortune, we'll remember Krishna. Hopefully, we'll remember Krishna all the time. Okay, so we'll stop here. Hare Krishna.